Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, one and all, to The Late Show. I am your host, Stephen Colbert. Tonight, you join our broadcast with history already in progress, because mere minutes before I walked out here on this stage, Republican Kevin McCarthy was ousted as Speaker of the House. And I'm sure this won't be taken out of context when I say, I love the McCarthy hearings. This, not really hearings, but you get the idea. You get the idea. This all started just last night, right? When Matt Gaetz introduced a motion to vacate the Speaker's chair, which Gaetz had threatened to file earlier in the day, and then McCarthy tweeted, bring it on. To which Gaetz replied, just did. Right? Then it continued when McCarthy replied, okay then. And Gaetz replied, well, okay. To which McCarthy replied, what happens now? To which Gaetz said, not sure, bro. To which McCarthy replied, I'm not your bro, bro, but I think if I get a simple majority, I survive, prompting Gaetz to ask, simple majority of total or just those present? To which McCarthy said, simple majority of your mom. And Gaetz replied, cool comeback. To which McCarthy said, thanks. To which Gaetz replied, I'm being sarcastic, BT Dubs. To which McCarthy replied, I know, dumbass. To which Gaetz responded, whatever, dude, my dad says I have to go eat dinner now. So there's a process. So there's a process. It's chaos. In the end, McCarthy lost with Matt Gaetz plus seven of his Republican cronies and all of the Democrats voting to give McCarthy the boot. Seems like strange bedfellows between those two groups. But in a Democratic meeting earlier today, California Representative Adam Schiff quoted the Big Lebowski saying, Gaetz isn't wrong, he's just an asshole.
That's right.
Wow.
It's true story.
Wow.
That's right. He's right. The douche abides. You may remember back in January, Congress had to vote a record 15 times for McCarthy to get the Speaker's job. But to remove him, just one. That's progress, Kev. I feel good about that. Now, this has never happened before in the 247 years of our republic. So, Kevin, congratulations. You made history. I'm sorry. Wait. I'm sorry. I misread that. You are history. Because... I don't know about that. Yes. Because it's hard to see any politician come back from this kind of unprecedented humiliation. So it's time to say farewell to former Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy, seen here pointing to his going-away gift. Speaking of public humiliation, Donald Trump, today... He was in New York for the second day of his fraud trial, and it can't be much fun for him to sit there since the judge already found him to have committed fraud. But his lawyers seem to be having a pretty good time. One of them came to court yesterday with a gaming laptop. She's using her downtime to play Grand Theft Mar-a-Lago. This. Mm-hmm. This trial is overseen by New York City Judge Arthur Engoron, seen here in his audition photo for The Golden Bachelor. Hey. Yes, you may approach the bench. It does please the court. He's already... or Goron fans here tonight. He's already issued a scathing ruling against Trump, and it must be hard for the ex-president to sit there and listen to all these people slam his business. Or it would be hard for him to listen if he was listening, but he's not. Instead, today, while he was sitting in court at his own trial, he went on Truth Social, where he put up a post attacking Judge Ngoron's clerk, who was literally in the courtroom with him, calling her Chuck Schumer's girlfriend. He's acting like a bored high schooler. He also passed the note to the judge saying, "Will you convict me, yes or no?" We've also seen several official courtroom sketches from this trial. But yesterday, Trump shared one that his fans made. There it is. He actually reposted this. "I've heard Jesus is my co-pilot, but from the looks of this, he's also a co-defendant." And I'm being told that this is actually implying that Jesus is his defense attorney, which makes sense. His mom would be so proud. And if you want to retain the services of our Lord and Savior, just check out his new ad.
Jesus and Barnes, Messiah and attorney, 800-555, Lamb of Justice.
There you go. You want him in your corner. You want me in your corner. Trump isn't just getting slammed with legal issues. He's all getting blasted by some of his senior members of his former administration, like outgoing chairman of the Joint Chiefs and subway rider seeing a mariachi band get on his train car. Mark Milley, in his farewell speech recently, Milley implied that Trump is a wannabe dictator. Another high-ranking general not mincing words about Trump is his former chief of staff, an uncle who's shown you the church and is now deciding if you can handle the steeple. John Kelly. Years ago, The Atlantic published a story which claimed that Trump had no respect for the military or for fallen soldiers. And last night, John Kelly went on the record to confirm several of those disturbing stories, including that Trump thinks prisoners of war are all suckers because there is nothing in it for them, that he did not want to be seen in the presence of military amputees because, quote, "it doesn't look good for me," and that he ranted that our heroes who gave their lives in America's defense are losers and wouldn't visit their graves in France. That is despicable for a commander-in-chief to disrespect the hallowed ground of our war dead. What could he possibly do to make up for saying that?
I will take electrocution.
Kelly ended his statement saying, "There is nothing more that can be said. God help us." True, but unfortunately, God's a little busy right now, sir. Oh, this is interesting. I enjoyed this. Last night at 1:05 a.m., Donald Trump posted, "Now that the strike is over, the talentless, low-rated creeps of late-night television are back." Thank you for watching, sir. But I'm not surprised. I mean, he's a 77-year-old white guy. Of course he's watching CBS. But I do have a question. Low-rated creeps of late night, how did he find out our original podcast title? He wasn't done. 45 minutes later, almost 2 a.m., after he had digested his bed nuggets, he posted, "Remember when I told you that the poorly rated and not at all funny late night talk shows are nothing less than a major campaign contribution to the radical left Democratic Party," adding, "Watch what is going on. So interesting." I know you meant that as an insult, but that really sounds like the kind of rave review you want to slap on a Times Square billboard. So today we did that. The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Watch what is going on. So interesting, Donald J. Trump. Sir, thank you for the endorsement. I hope you get a chance to check out the billboard on the way to your next court appearance or bubblegum shrimp appearance. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, John Oliver.
Here's the thing about eating. We all have to do it, sometimes even a few times a day. But if you already have a lot on your plate that isn't food, like stuff to do, figuring out your meals can be stressful. By the time you get breakfast going, it could be lunchtime. And then what? Eat your breakfast for lunch? Is that allowed? Yes, you're a grown-up who can make their own choices. And whether that choice is eating breakfast for every meal or bending to society's construct of proper mealtimes, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals that can be ready in as little as 2 minutes. Tailored to your schedule and weird eating habits, you have the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your cool new breakfast-only lifestyle. You can even try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus, if that's what you're into for breakfast. Or any meal. You do you. Head to factormeals.com/lateshow50 and use code lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code lateshow50 at factormeals.com/lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Ladies and gentlemen, my guest tonight is an Emmy Award-winning comedian you know best from the Strike Force 5 podcast. He also hosts Last Week Tonight on HBO. Please welcome John Oliver.
Please, please.
It is nice.
Good evening. Good evening.
It is lovely to see you.
It is nice to see you too.
Not only to see you not on a Zoom window, which
always
is how we've been doing the podcast.
That's right.
But also to see you in a suit. This is the most dressed you and I have been in the last 5 months. Yes.
I know, exactly. I will dress up for the person I'm talking to. Seth Meyers doesn't have suits anymore, so I will not dress up for that man, Chuck. I will dress down like he does. He does not respect his guests sartorially, so I shall not respect him.
For those who, the few people out there who don't know,
yes.
For the past couple of months, you and me and the Jimmys and
yep.
Seth
yep.
have had a podcast called Strike Force 5.
Indeed, yes.
Be louder.
Could be
louder. It is a podcast that The Guardian called Nice Enough. What do you make of that description?
What you're dealing with there is quintessential British passive aggression.
That's good?
Nice Enough is a rave in Britain. Anything more than that, and it's just like everyone committing ritual suicide. Nice Enough is what they said about Shakespeare. It was fine.
It rhymes.
It passed the evening.
The podcast is coming to an end.
Yes, that's
sadly.
Right. Yes.
Tonight is our last.
I mean, not entirely sadly.
What?
It's a good way for it to end.
It was
right?
lovely. To,
yeah.
It was a perfect way to end because
yes.
the strike ended.
That's right.
Right when the podcast
yes,
was
it
ended.
Would be bad if it had carried on.
Yes. Yeah. It would be bad if it carried on. It would also be bad if the strike had ended after the first episode.
That's right. All of those things would have been bad. But yeah, thankfully we threw off at least one good episode in 12, right?
Sure.
Fallon's
five.
Episode 5. If
yes.
you haven't heard any of it, episode 5 is when Jimmy Fallon, I mean, he
distinguished himself.
Distinguished or disgraced. It's either both. He basically ran an episode of The Match Game while just taking liberties with the English language that I think will never be fully forgiven by the people of Britain. It's beautiful. It's beautiful chaos. It's incredibly funny. Mm-hmm. He's like a conductor conducting an orchestra who doesn't innately understand what music is. That's the best way I can. It's incredible. Yeah.
And one of the mistakes that we made on the podcast
uh-huh.
is right at the end, we went, we should get some merchandise.
Yeah.
So we ordered a lot of merchandise.
Yeah.
I mean, to sell to people.
I think it's fair to say it's a disaster. It's a financial disaster, right?
So,
right?
Probably.
It's like if the last thing Radio Shack did was, let's order some bomber jackets. That'll dig us out of this hole. Yeah, we have a huge amount of merch that there is no real market for.
Right.
But it's still
the podcast is over.
But it still exists. Yeah.
Still exists. So I thought maybe we could give some away to the audience tonight.
At cost?
What? Yeah. Gratis.
And if they catch them, then they pay for it? Is that the...
No, it's just free.
It's just free.
Though it will not...
Okay. Wow.
Wow.
Just to qualify your excitement, you're going to get literal trash projected at you.
Right. And the easiest way to distribute T-shirts is, of course...
Oh, the T-shirt cannon.
T-shirt cannon. Yes. Eddie, bring out the T-shirt cannons.
All charged up.
Okay.
Eddie. Charged up. And the safety...
It's loaded.
And the safety is off.
The safety's off. Okay.
Okay. Ready?
Yes.
You're the guest. And keep in mind, John...
Yes.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Have you fired a T-shirt cannon before?
I think it's 99% confidence, right? What's the worst that can happen? Whoa!
The worst that could happen is that you could take off somebody's head. All right, ready? Right over here. Who wants one? You see, it's got quite a lift on it. Hold on. All right.
Another one?
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Why don't we
give me
a seat. Have a seat. Please have a seat. There we go. So what we'll do is that we'll keep these here.
Yeah.
We'll keep these here.
Stephen.
Yes.
I cannot overstate the extent to which I just shot that woman in the face with a T-shirt. There was no arc on it. It was flat. I apologise. I believe they have insurance for this, and if they don't, you're about to become a millionaire.
Congrats on getting back to work.
Thanks. You too.
First show was Sunday night. How did it go?
It felt
natural?
Fun. Yeah. It was very fun. It was very fun to be back. And the only show that we had prepared in terms of research...
Like the one you were working on in May.
That's right, was about prison healthcare, which really felt like not the most welcoming way to welcome an audience back. Just, welcome back, why were you ever here? But, it's very nice to get it on the air.
Now, you recently hosted the Clooney Foundation's Albie Awards.
I did, yes.
Last week.
Yes.
I did not get an invitation to that.
That was deliberate.
And what? I'm sure it's not that fun. Like, it's not glamorous.
No,
anything, right?
No one's there.
Just tell me if Jon Stewart was there.
He was there, yeah.
All right. Okay. You were on the red carpet with your lovely wife, mm-hmm. and that you were asked about returning to work here.
You're about to go back to work. Oh, yes.
Wow.
So.
Yeah.
No hesitancy.
No hesitancy. Just no even kind of sense of fun in the voice. Just, yes, it's time for him to get back to work.
We have to take a quick break here,
okay.
Mr. Oliver.
That's fine by
me. We'll be right back with more of That Guy. Stick around.
Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
It's John Oliver from Last Week Tonight, Strike Force 5. So what is John Oliver like off air? What are you like when you don't have a job to go to?
I mean, bouncing off the walls, to be honest. Yeah. I don't rest well. I'm better with purpose and work. I don't really exist in a leisure sense. That's how people...
There's no downtime, Oliver.
No, there's no downtime. I'm always like this, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. You can tell that from the way that my wife said, it is time for him to leave the house. But I was...
You're waking up the kids going, do you know the state of prison health care?
Yes, basically. But I was lucky because as part of a way to keep paying the staff, I did stand up a lot. And that was kind of... That scratched the itch to get out of the house and performing. So,
sure.
I did some hastily written stand-up around the country.
You actually... this is... Your final gig is going to be of this little round, helping pay the staff, is New Year's Eve. It's you and right here... It's you and Seth Meyers are doing a show together at Caesar's Palace.
That's right.
In Vegas.
Yes. Vegas.
Now, what I can't... Vegas, baby. That's your life.
What's...
That's... I think you... John Oliver, I think Vegas.
What says Vegas at New Year's Eve more than Seth Meyers and John Oliver? in the theatre, and this is true, where Adele sings. We are the opposite of Adele in every possible sense. So, yeah, there are going to be some very disappointed Adele fans that have made a crucial mistake with the calendar.
How's your rolling in the deep?
I mean, it can't be that bad, right? She could have had it all! Right?
Now, who's opening for whom? I can't tell from this. Who's opening for whom here?
Oh, it doesn't matter. I think we did the Beacon together. We kind of opened for each other. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll toss a coin.
Do you have much Vegas experience? Like, have you...
Not really. I've only ever been once before. There was a Comedy Central had a... I think it was a Comedy Central had a comedy festival there, and I went with Rob Riggle. It's his spiritual home.
Oh, really? Vegas.
Yeah, that's his mecca. So that was the first time I'd been to Vegas, the first time I gambled. There was one... It was like 4 a.m. one night. I was sitting at a blackjack table, and Mike Tyson walked right past the table. And I remember thinking to myself... I need to go to bed.
Because you thought you might have hallucinated him?
No, more that if your life intersects with Mike Tyson's in any way, that is a canary in the coal mine coughing its last breath. It's bedtime for you.
Well, why didn't you ever go back?
Why? Oh, I loved it because it's a cartoonish place. It literally shouldn't exist. That's going to help sell tickets, isn't it?
Right.
Vegas, come to Vegas. The city shouldn't exist. It's built on stolen water. There's no point in it being there. But do come and see Seth and I on December 31st. I won. I won. Riggle taught me how to play blackjack, and I won $800.
Wow.
And then I lost it at the airport because I lost my wallet.
And you lost your wallet at the airport?
At the airport. I don't know how I lost it. It was gone. And I had some things in there that I really wanted, like there was an old autograph of Ian Rush, a Liverpool football player that I got when I was 11 years old. Yeah, and so I really wanted that. I was so destroyed that it had gone. And then someone found it, sent me my wallet back with Ian Rush's autograph in there and minus $800.
We have to take a little break here, but stick around.
More
John Oliver.
What?
You will be there.
I will not be here.
You will be there.
I will be here. I'll be here.
Be there.
I'll be here.
Come back.
I'll be here.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, we're back here with the host of Last Week Tonight, John Oliver. How are ticket sales, by the way?
No idea.
Okay.
But again, I just cannot stress enough the extent to which Las Vegas should not exist as a city.
And that you are not Adele.
That's right.
So here you are. You're opening with
yeah,
Seth there that night.
Fun, yeah.
Now you started your career as a stand-up. Do you have any memorable people that you toured with? People you remember when you started out?
I mean, the beauty with stand-up is it's a fundamentally humiliating job, right? I think it's good for the human soul. And the lowest it ever got for me was I did a gig at the University of East Anglia, and my manager said, you're going to go in the middle. It's three acts. You're going to go in the middle. All of that was true. But he left out some key specifics that would have been helpful to know at the time. One was that the first act, the opening act, was a guy called Mr. Methane, who was a kind of character act in Britain at the time. I believe he's still around. And it's a guy in a kind of skin-tight green lycra suit whose talent was that he could fart on command. And so he did that. He farted along to the Blue Danube. He blew out some birthday candles on a cake, and then he farted the national anthem.
And your national anthem.
That's
God
right.
Save the Queen.
God Save the Queen, or the King, but it all sounds the same when it comes out of his rectum.
So wait, could he hold a note? Or
yes,
is it
he
just
could.
Rhythm?
It was genuinely impressive, and you need to understand how much that audience loved what they were. There was a genuine sense
It was a simpler time.
Of patriotism in the room of, I'm hearing
stand
the British national anthem the way it's supposed to be heard. It's recognizably being farted into a microphone being held 0 inches away from the man's anus. Now, you might be wondering,
I am.
Were there 2 microphones available to the performers that night? No. Microphone singular. So I went onto a stage to an audience who were just sitting down after giving him a standing ovation. And I'll be honest, my 20 minutes of jokes about Britain's involvement in the Iraq War didn't go down as well as what Mr. Methane had done. I bombed. Then the final act of the evening was a guy called Stevie Starr, who called himself the world's only professional regurgitator. And I saw him swallow and bring back a light bulb, a pool ball, and a goldfish. Yes, yes, it's the goldfish that stuck with me too.
A live goldfish. Down and live when it came back out.
Live when it came back out. And I know that goldfish can't emote. I know that. But I would swear to you that that goldfish looked at me standing at the side of the stage with a look in its eyes that said, kill me now.
And they only remember things for 7 seconds.
No, but that's it. I think that's a misnomer. I think he would have loved to have forgotten that for 7 seconds. So they loved him even more than they liked Mr. Methane. And it wasn't bombing on stage that hurt. The true nadir of that evening was just how nice the two of them were to me backstage.
Mr. Methane and the regurgitator?
They were so kind. And you've not hit rock bottom until you've seen a guy in a kind of rip-off Riddler costume peeling it off his body. And I swear, he looked at me and he said, I'm sorry. That was hard to watch you do that up there. It was hard for you, Mr. Methane. You found that difficult to watch? You felt I lost some dignity there, fart man? And I looked them up. He's still going, Mr. Methane. And,
oh, that's good.
And Stevie Starr recently got to the final of Croatia's Got Talent, which is bold because he is in no way Croatian.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, there were some dark times as a stand-up. Wow. But they're character building, right?
Yeah, oh, 100%, 100%. Yeah. When I was a young man touring with the Second City, one time we played the Berwyn Summer Carnival, which took place in a parking lot of a strip mall, and all the acts were just in canvas tents. And there was also the Midway like the other things, and we were between something called the Zipper, which is a ride where each of the cars spin like this while they go around a track and the whole thing rotates while they blare disco music. Like that.
Perfect.
And on the other side of our tent was another tent that had the Marshall Tucker Band. And so as we're trying to land soft and thoughtful punchlines to topical sketch comedy, over here and here, and in a moment of silence, when this wasn't happening, you could hear, can't you see? What that woman, Lord, been doing to me. We eventually had to pull the PZMs off the stage and talk into them.
But
it's the best. Made me a man.
It's the best. The worst memories are the best memories when it comes to comedy. There's nothing like it. Because audiences can't hurt you anymore. You've been humiliated.
No, they can. They can. The stakes are higher. They can hurt a lot more. Do you want to give away some more T-shirts?
I do.
All right. Okay, let's do a couple more in here. All right, one more. All right, and now let's go outside.
Outside?
Come on, let's do it outside. Anybody want a T-shirt? I'm gonna try to get one on top of this theater. Yeah. Big paces, right? Yeah. John Oliver, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.